Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, that's about one of the best worship sets I've heard in a long time. Let's give them a great big hand clap. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that in the presence of God tonight. Amen. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, as Brother Greg said, Pastor Miss Hagen are in Vancouver, Washington, I believe. They are up that way, and then they come back to Idaho. So be praying for them, and they'll pretty sure they are here next week. And so ahead of Mother's Day and birthday. Boy, time is flying. We are getting ready over at the school. We'll have graduation here on the 17th, and that'll be here before you know it. And students are winding down their studies and all over the world. I know that I just saw a video. Our son is in Brazil right now. Be down there for 6 weeks preaching and ministering. And at the church he was at tonight, they gave up and gave a testimony. Somebody stood up and gave a testimony of one of the graduating class. They just had the graduation of one of the schools that is in a women's prison. And they're teaching them, hallelujah, the word of God. The government has invited them in. They've had such great results that the government, even in one place, the prison system and the government, they said, look, we'll build you a building to hold the class in. Other places, they've let them come in and build it. And so it's an exciting thing that God is doing. And the word of God's going forth, and we're so thankful for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk, there in the Old Testament, right before Zephaniah. Okay, what is it, the fifth book from the end of the Old Testament? Yeah, I think so. There, and you say, what is it, Habakkuk? I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll ask him, all right? Ask this prophet, how do you say your name? Okay, and but he makes a statement here that's made four times in the Word of God. We're going to look at that tonight. And that is that the just shall live by faith. And we want to talk a little bit about that tonight, some of the aspects of that and what that means for us. How many of you know we're by grace we're saved, but it's through what? Faith. By grace we're healed. How? Through faith. By grace we're delivered and kept safe. How? Through faith. And so we need to understand the aspects and different things of how faith works, how it comes, and that, because we are not just to have, as I've said to you before, I think at times, not just to have events of faith, but to live by faith. All right? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Talking about really what he's saying here is don't be full of pride and just get yourself lifted up. But the just, those declared right with God, says the just shall live by his faith. Live by. Well, what does that mean, live by? Doesn't that imply an everyday, 24/7, 365 and an extra day during leap year application of living, not just you know, going along and say, oh, I better use my faith. No, it's a conscience application of living this life of trust in God. You know, when we're talking about having faith, we're talking about trusting God and believing what God has to say. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Now, these are not new things I'm teaching here tonight. But we have to constantly put ourselves in remembrance of these things. And as Brother Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen said to us as we were students there, it's 35 years ago I graduated from Raymond. I can't believe it. I'm barely 34, so how could it be 35? You know, how could it be 35 years? But I remember, you know, him over and over telling us, you know, that every generation has to be taught. That you can't assume that everybody knows. And that would mean not just generation as far as our natural generation, how old we are, but our spiritual. How young are you in the Lord? How old are you in the Lord? Right? To learn these things and to learn how to live by these things. And so, and then besides that, Peter said, I'm going to stir you up. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, he meant this body, I'm going to stir you up to so that you would know. And to continue in the things that you've learned. I found in my life, it's very easy to let things go. and things you were walking in, you know, not bad. I'm not talking, but I mean the good things, and you were practicing this, and then you look back and you think, man, I got out of the habit of that. You got to stir yourself up, okay? Romans 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation." Now, the word salvation, let me stop there again. Every time I read that, I stop and think about deliverance. It means the word safety. It means preservation. It means healing. It means soundness. I'm not ashamed. He said, I'm not going to shy away from it. And another way, he said, I'm not going to become indifferent concerning it. That it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. Living by faith. Living by faith. Oh, that's all you, Raymond P., that's all you talk about is faith. Well, not really. But one of the reasons we do talk about it so much is because God gave us a mandate. He gave us a job to do, and that was to go teach God's people faith. And it hasn't stopped just because Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord. That's why Rhema Bible College is there. That's why the school is there, is to train men and women to go and to teach that word. Amen? And to teach it because God told us. Now, other ministries might have an assignment to do something else. That's great. Praise God. When Rhema's not the only one doing something in the world, wouldn't that be foolish? If we're the only ones doing something, we're in trouble. Thank God. You know, that's like saying, I'm just an elbow. Well, if you're just an elbow, if that's all you got, you're in trouble. Because just an elbow is not going to make it. You got to have the rest of the body, right? Okay. Galatians 2, look at verse 20. I love this verse, but I want to bring something out here. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, isn't that close to saying the just shall live by faith? He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Other translations said, I live by faith in the Son of God. Or concerning the Son. I'm living by faith. And then, down in chapter 3, as he talks to them about living by faith, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him to righteousness, that we're not made right with God by the works that we do, but it's through faith. He gets down here to verse 11 of Galatians 3, and he says, but that no man is justified. The word justified means to be declared right, to declared right. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. By faith, okay? By believing. It's when you believe that you're declared right with God. Hebrews chapter 10. The just, those, that's us, talking about you and I, those who are in Christ, we are to live by faith. Again, thank God when we have times that we need a miracle, that God is a miracle working God. And we can have events when we need, but you know, we should be living by our faith. Not just trying to conjure up faith when we have a problem. But you know, every day's got its own things, doesn't it? Remember when Jesus said, look, don't take any thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will have sufficient of itself. Take care of today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today. Live by faith today. What are we going to do tomorrow? Live by faith. We're going to believe God tomorrow, right? We're going to take God at his word tomorrow. If God said it, if it applies today, it's going to apply tomorrow, right? That's why, you know, this is kind of off the subject, but I used to get a kick out of people say, well, you know, preachers, bless their hearts. And I understand, you know, I is one, so I kind of understand preachers a little bit. But, you know, when you got ministry, sometimes you get under pressure, financial pressure, and they'll come up with, and people come up with all kinds of gimmicks to raise money. If you don't give today, there's a supernatural anointing on your gift. If you give today, then there'll be a supernatural return. You give today, and it's usually not give a penny. It's, you know, give a 10 million pennies, you know, give not just a little, but there, if you'll give a lot today. today. You'll give $1,000. There'll be a super debt reduction anointing on your giving today. Well, I found this out with God. If it's good today, it'll be good tomorrow. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't be pressuring me. You can't pressure me. Right? If it's still God, it'll be God tomorrow. Amen. All right. Did you find Hebrews 10? Look at verse Hebrews 10. I'm sorry, what did I say? I did. Okay, thank you. Pay attention in the front row here. Okay. Hebrews 10, 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That's another great word for faith, isn't it? Don't cast it away, but it has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, people that live by faith live in patience also. Patience is consistency, regardless of the circumstances. Patience, the Bible says, in your patience, you'll possess your soul. Consistency. You know, a patient person doesn't go up and down and up and down. They're all, you know, a patient person is just staying consistent. Why? I'm believing God. God said it. That's what it is right there. Well, when are you going to have it? I've already got it. Oh, I can't see it. That doesn't matter. I didn't ask you. I'm not believing it because you can see it. And I'm not asking you to tell me whether you can see it. I'll never forget the story Brother Hagin talked about as a teenager. The one side of his face, all of a sudden, it just paralyzed. He couldn't close his eye. His mouth was drooping down. He said he slept at night. It was his eye wide open. He couldn't move it. So he's confessing and believing, telling people. They said, Brother, he's a young man, still a teenager. What's wrong with your face? I'm healed in Jesus' name. Well, you don't look healed. He said, I didn't ask you how I looked. The word of God says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Amen. And he said, you know, he'd go to bed at night. He said, and there's his eyes wide open. He said, you ever try to sleep with your eye wide open? He said, I could close it with my hand and then it'd just pop right back open. He said, how'd you go to sleep? He said, I just rolled my eyeball back in my head and just said, in Jesus' name, just went to sleep that way. He said, you know, obviously, he said, didn't even notice it took place. The paralysis left, never come back again. Amen. He said, I just by operating my faith. But I like that he told that. He told me, I didn't ask you how I looked. I'm telling you, I'm healed. Amen. You know, we as Christians, we need to learn to speak words of faith, words that minister grace to the hearer, words that help people instead of questioning people all the time. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget. I'll say this. I'll never forget. I was at, we had a college weekend on campus one time. And I was, at that time, I was driving a PT Cruiser. I love that PT Cruiser. I'd always told him, didn't I? I'd always said, I want to have one of those one of these days. And so we bought one in, it was 2007. Now I know it was because that was when I was driving back and forth to Illinois. And that thing had bells and whistles on it before its time. You know, it had a CD player and a cassette player still. It had heated seats. It had a sunroof in it. It had all kinds of things, you know. And it had a nice quad 4 engine in it. It wasn't one of those little weak engines. It could really go, you know. And I loved driving that thing. And I'll never forget that as we pulled up this one fella, and I had met these people from a church before because I'd ministered there before and they were there. And I pulled into the park. They saw me in that PT Cruiser. And this one fella, he said, where's your Cadillac? I said, I'm driving it, my brother. Look at it. He goes, no, I mean it. Where's your Cadillac? I thought you were a man of faith. You know, I wanted to lay hands on him suddenly and repeatedly. Well, Cadillac doesn't prove you got any faith. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But to him, you know, we got to learn to speak words that help people. Glory to God. All right. And believe God with people. I love that. I love that car. Ended up selling it because somebody gave me a Mercedes. Amen. I love that Mercedes, but that PT Cruiser had more stuff on it than that Mercedes does. I'm still driving it. Pastor Bill Ray, over one of our associate pastors over there, he said, there ain't no ride like a paid-off ride. And that car's paid off, and it rides nice. All right, it was paid off when I got it. Glory to God. And so I just keep on driving it. And it's wonderful. It's been a great blessing to us. Okay, did you find, okay, you have need of patience. There you go. That after you've done the will of God, so you've done your part, you're going to receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Verse 38, look at that. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them, glory to God, who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. See, we're not going to drop. We're not of the people that draw back. Why? We're living by faith. See, when you live by faith every day, when the opportunity comes to draw back, no, you're strong. Right? You're strong. You know, if you run a 5K every day or two or three times a week, when the opportunity to actually run a 5K comes, you're strong. You're already built up. But if you haven't run at all, I'm not running a 5K. I'm not even going to walk a 5K. I can't even walk a 5K right now. Why? Now, if I do it, I used to run. I used to run like that all the time. I was a good runner. Ran long distance all the time. Do that kind of stuff. And but I'm not, you know, these days, I'd have to get back in doing it. Well, the same thing's true in your faith. And you're living by faith every day. Like Harrison, you know, Harrison's a power lifter. He lifts and lifts for power, you know, can do it. But he has to do that all the time. He's not going to sit out for a month and then go to a competition, are you? No. He's not going to, okay, I'm going to take a month off and then I'm going to go for a personal record. No, he's not. He's going to strain a lot of muscles. See, he's got to live that way and not just have an event. You got to live that way. So living by faith. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 10. I know the first time I mowed my yard this year in the backyard, I thought I was, I did, you know. You know when you get out and it's hot, and it was hot that day for some reason, wind wasn't blowing, and I'm mowing the yard, and I was just mowing the backyard, and I'm out there, you know, pushing the thing, and you know, you start having visions. You get tired. I'm serious. I'm out there mowing, I'm hurting, I'm like, dear God, what, you know, this is ridiculous. I used to be able to, you know, I should be running to mow this yard out here. And I'm out there and I'm seeing myself laying on the ground, you know, my wife coming up. You know what I'm saying? You start seeing those things. And I'm just, no, in Jesus' name. But then, you know, the other day I mowed the front yard, nothing. Right. It start, you know, strength's coming back, you know. Abel, you got to remember your, you know, all the things. Well, see, you got to continue to do that. Next time I mow the backyard, not going to be much problem. Amen? You see what I'm saying? All right. It's like, look, don't try to get your suntan all in one day. Live by faith. Okay, verse 8, Romans 10, 8. But what does it say? The word is near us, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now right there is one of the ways. There's other ways through what you do, but that right there, verse 9 and 10 especially, is how to release your faith. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Believe what you say will come to pass. But verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're to live by faith, but how do we get this faith? If we're to live by this, how do we get faith? Well, the primary way we get faith is by hearing and hearing, and it implies and hearing the word of God. Remember this, faith begins where the will of God is known. If I don't know what God's will says concerning something, I cannot act in faith or speak in faith concerning it until I know what God's will says. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by, you could say, the will of God. He said the word of God. But God's word is his will. He's not a man that he should lie. God doesn't lie. Aren't you glad? You can trust somebody that speaks the truth. All right. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you know people as well as I do, though, that have heard God's word, but they don't operate in any faith. It's as if they don't have faith. It doesn't say just because you heard it before. It's an act of hearing and hearing and hearing by the word. But there's something else that a key ingredient, and that's we read all this to just talk about this key ingredient tonight, not just hearing the word, is that you have to hear the word on purpose to extract the faith that's resident in it into your life. If you want to get faith in your heart, you have to on purpose go to that word with and say, I'm going to believe what it says. Because you can just hear it. You can just hear it and it not affect you at all. How many people have just heard the word? I mean, they've heard it. They've heard it. And they don't believe it because they've never purposely looked at. They've never purposely gone to it. So let's look at John's gospel, chapter 20. Let's see this happen in real life. What happened with someone who heard something but made a decision to not believe and became faithless. But see, what if I make a decision to believe? Then I get faith from hearing the word of God. You have to on purpose. We have to. I have to on purpose. You know, I don't know why, but here recently, it seems like this scripture, I keep hearing this scripture, and I haven't turned to it yet in teaching class. I'm teaching right now in the book of Ephesians. We're also teaching at school this on Introduction to Theology, Bible Doctrines 1, and talking about God and talking about the Godhead right now. But in talking about God, one of the attributes of God is truth. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Well, that would include Tad. If Tad disagrees with God, Tad's lying. I have to say that to myself. If I see something in the Word of God and it's in there, you know, I'm not just taking isolated scripture. I'm looking at it. It's supported out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. I'm looking at it and it's against what I believe. I've got to change what I believe. Because God is true. What if some don't believe? Does that make the faith of God of no effect? Absolutely not. Let God be true and every man a liar. All right. So here in John 20, just because someone chooses not to believe doesn't change the word of God. And we all have encountered people and Christians that have made a decision not to believe that. And guess what? What they don't believe, they don't have in their life. That's right. What I don't believe, I don't have in my life. What I don't act on, I don't have in my life. Now here in John 20, look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, you see, he made a decision of his own will to not believe. Right? He made a decision. People do that all the time. We do that with a lot of different things. Make a decision. I will not believe. But how many of you know you can make a decision? I will believe. I do believe. But he said, I will not believe. And then after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach here your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither your hand and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Now his decision, he said, I will not believe. How did Jesus describe him? Faithless. Now, did the disciples tell him the truth? They told the truth, did they? We've seen the Lord. I will not believe, he said. That's where we get this term, doubting Thomas. Okay? But, you know, there was other... When Mary came and told him, none of them believed then either. You know, Peter and John didn't believe so much. They took off running to the tomb. And John points out that he outran Peter to the tomb. But he stopped before they went. And Peter just ran right in. You know. But then they believed. But they still were like, where is he? Who took his body? They didn't know. But here, Thomas, he said, be not faithless. And so Thomas answered, verse 28, and said, my Lord and my God. So what's he see? He confesses him as his Lord. Why? He believes now. Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I think I'm looking at a whole room tonight of blessed people. Amen. I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen him. Wouldn't mind if I did, but I haven't seen him. I'm going to see him someday. I know that. But I haven't seen him. I didn't believe. I believe because of what I heard. See, I made a decision to believe it. Interesting thing about it, I had heard it all my life. But I had never taken the step of acting on it. I mean, we grew up in the church. I joke about it a little bit and say it was a no gospel church. But it really wasn't. I didn't hear really anything preached against. Just didn't hear hardly anything preached. But we grew up, you know, we grew up in our church. We said the Apostles' Creed. And we said the Nicene Creed. We said all those things. I believe in God the Father, you know, and his son. And then we talked, he was crucified, dead and buried. The Apostles' Creed actually says went to hell. But the third day he rose from the dead. We would say those things. We'd read them in the back of the hymnal. Open up the hymnal. I think the Apostles' Creed in one of those older hymnals was number 738, right? I never can remember the number. You know, number 730, to read that and go through. And it's an outstanding confession of faith and what they believe. Well, I had said that all my life. But now I'm 19 years old and somebody hands me a book called The New Birth. All right? And I see one of them sitting down there, The New Birth book. And I read it. There wasn't anything in there that I didn't believe. I believed what was said. But he added something to it. Said, if you believe this, then no one had ever told me, if you believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and be saved. No one had ever taken me to that place. I didn't know that. And so guess what? Even though I had believed something and never acted upon it, I wasn't living by it, see? Because I didn't know. I lacked knowledge. Thank God for the long-suffering of God and the mercy of God. When at 19 years old, on June 30th, 1980, I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and was born again. Glory to God. Amen. Be 39 years this summer. Hallelujah. I used to kind of count it. Now I'm way past half my age. I've been a Christian. All right. Some of you have been Christians a lot longer than that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that clock has just gone berserk back there. Look at that thing. Glory to God. Greg, what did you do to the batteries in this place tonight? On your phone, I don't know what it is. Hallelujah. You know what that means? It's time to quit. All right. Let's all stand up on our feet. Amen. Amen. Listen, make a decision that what you see in the Word of God, in the will of God, you're going to believe it. No matter what, you know, if it just, you, well, I don't know. I've always believed this. Well, forget what you've always believed. Because what you've always believed has got you where you are. Do you want to go greater? You want to go higher? You want to go further? Then believe what God says. Amen. Amen. Now, you might have come a long way. Thank God for it. But if God's word says it, I'm going to change. I'm choosing to believe that what God said is true. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you tonight. We give you glory and honor for your word. Father, we choose. We do believe, Father God. We do believe. We do believe that your word is true. Thank you, Father, that when we believe and we take it, that faith rises up and is deposited within us. And we believe it and we speak what it says and act on what it says to do. And we shall receive the promise, Father, because we will be patient and the promise shall come to pass. It shall come to pass in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Give you all the glory and all of the praise. Hallelujah.